The chemical structures of palbociclib and ribociclib are remarkably similar. Abemaciclib's chemical structure is quite distinct, and I think this probably at some level explains why palbociclib and ribociclib in many ways behave similarly in patients, particularly with respect to toxicities, and abemaciclib has a somewhat distinct toxicity profile. Palbociclib and ribociclib are primarily given on a 21-day on, 7-day off schedule. That's driven by the fact that they cause significant neutropenia in the majority of patients. Abemaciclib, on the other hand, does cause neutropenia, but much less commonly, and is therefore able to be given continuously. All three of these drugs are potent inhibitors of CDK4 and CDK6, as demonstrated by the IC50 value. It's thought that abemaciclib, and one of the things that might make it distinct from palbociclib and ribociclib, may inhibit some other targets as well, but I would have to say this is still a point of great contention. And finally, you'll see that toxicities are variable between the three drugs. Palbociclib and ribociclib, classically associated with neutropenia, fatigue, maybe some nausea. Ribociclib has a couple of additional things one needs to consider, such as elevation of transaminases, prolongation of the QT interval. And abemaciclib also has some unique considerations, such as diarrhea, transaminitis, and an increased rate of venous thromboembolism. The most common question that I'm asked when discussing these drugs is, are they all essentially the same? Well, as I've shown you that at a biochemical level, the drugs are somewhat different. They have different structures, different potencies, different relative potencies to inhibit CDK4 versus CDK6, and different off targets. And we know clinically that they're different too. We see different toxicities, different dosing schedules. It turns out that one of the drugs, abemaciclib, has a higher monotherapy response rate than the others. And maybe, although it's not clear, that abemaciclib also has a greater degree of CNS penetration. What we don't know, however, is why the biochemical and molecular differences that we see between the drugs cause the clinical differences that we see. So there's no clear understanding at the moment of why these different drugs produce the different toxicity profiles that we see. And I think we can never forget the point that when we look at the data from first-line large randomized studies where these drugs have been given in conjunction with endocrine therapy, the efficacy data has been remarkably compelling and remarkably similar across all three agents. So whilst I do think there are chemical differences with these drugs, toxicity differences with these drugs, I don't think that we could say one of these drugs is a better choice in terms of efficacy.